This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Today, we wrap up the back-to-school series of interviews. Steve Woods here from Dace Creek Charter School. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
So, kind of give people an overview on Dace Creek School and tell us about it.
Well, Dace Creek School is about 8 miles east of Canyonville, nestled right there on the South Umpqua River. It's beautiful area, a nice community, and surrounded by ranches and farms and great people.
And how many students and staff?
We have about we'll have about 225 students, about 40 staff members, and we're seeing a little bit of a growth. We're going to be up about 20 kids this year.
Is that a bit of a surprise?
It is a little bit, you know, with the COVID, you have everything kind of shaken out, but we've had some families that have moved in and really excited to have them.
And talk about your background and how long you've been at Dace Creek.
So I'll be starting my fifth year this year at Dace Creek. I grew up in Corvallis. I've been back and forth from there and down south. I've spent some time down there as an educator, but have been back and, again, starting my fifth year and really see some great things happening in Dace Creek.
And what is it you like about that size of a school?
You know, it's really special because the students can participate in so many different things. We have kids that are on student council and then on the football team and also class president and FFA and you name it. So, you know, we pride ourselves in allowing our kids to and encouraging them actually to do as much as they can because high school goes so fast and, you know, it's really exciting to see how kids can go and maybe try something out and think they liked it and just fall in love with it.
Now, have you kind of tended to stick with smaller districts?
No, actually, I've been at larger districts. This is the smallest district I've ever been at. So, yeah, it's kind of a learning curve at first, but, you know, many of us wear multiple hats and you kind of serve wherever you're needed.
So given the previous 2 years, what's the beginning of the school year been like this year for you?
Well, you know, obviously in 2019 when COVID hit, we all shut down and went home, went to online learning, and that was kind of a quick curve for many of our staff not having the technology, and so we had to up that up. But honestly, Kyle, we kind of came back last year, and we were in school all year and did not have to close down. So, you know, again, that comes back with that small community environment. We're able to adjust and make some changes to get our kids there, and our staff were all for it, and it was really a positive experience. So this year, we're kind of starting off just like next year. We're just kind of building on that, and there was some loss of learning from 2019, and we're still trying to recover from that, but we've got some systems in place where we think we can pull that off.
During the beginning of the pandemic, when it was online only, everybody pretty much admits that that didn't come out too well because the technology wasn't quite there yet. How frustrating was that?
Well, you know, particularly for our district, Kyle, because we have some folks that don't have internet access in their house. So even if they wanted to go online, they couldn't. The infrastructure was not in place. So we did what we could to get mobile access points and things. But obviously, if you don't have cell phone service, in some places, you don't have internet access. And so it was a very troubling for many of our families because they were not able to participate. And that's why we did everything we could to get the school open.
So did that mean things like people having to drive to the driveway 2 miles down the road and just park there and do school from there?
Or? That's right. A friend's house, the local fire department, maybe. You know, we even tried to contact the fire department, DFN, to see if we could get some towers in the area. But, you know, at the time, if you remember, there were a lot of fires going on, and they were all, you know, being used, and that was troublesome. So, as was other districts trying to do the same thing. So, you know, the supply chain wasn't there, and so, yeah, there were some real challenges.
And while a lot of people like that rural area, if they're there, certainly the technology is definitely an issue down there.
It is, but we have a fiber backbone actually coming to the school, and now they are opening it up upriver. So slowly but surely, they are bringing service to many of our homes. But the school is the hub. You know, outside the post office, you know, we're it. And so community events, weddings, memorial services, class reunions, I mean, we're the place to come.
So any new, like, key hires, new staff you want to talk about this year?
Well, we really kind of focus in on our math recovery, and so we've hired some really great math teachers that have come in, and we probably are over-supplied in that area, but we're able to make smaller cohorts of kids and focus on that. So, we again, math, science, and language arts, those are the three areas that we're really trying to bring our kids up to grade level and get them excited about what's ahead of them and their future.
Well, and so much of life now going forward, that's going to be even more important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they say that the occupations that are going to be, people are going to be looking for to hire in the future have not even been invented yet. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is teach our kids critical thinking skills and the ability to problem solve and, create leaders. And, you know, that social emotional learning is really important, too. Just getting along with people, how to communicate. That's something that the pandemic really kind of brought front and center when people were isolated and siloed in their areas. And so, you know, coming back working with people in groups, you know, that's something that's super important no matter what job you have.
So a small school, small area, do you have different considerations about the issue of school security? I mean, that topic is so huge right now.
Yeah, it is. That's one that the board has chosen to be one of their goals this year. And clearly, you know, you read about the active shooters and that sort of thing. But hey, we've got live animals and you know, all those other things coming on campus too. So, you know, just to make sure that our kids are safe, that's something that we've really focused on. We've done a lot of things with, and we will continue to do.
Now, and you're right along the highway too, right?
Fairly close, yeah, right off Tiller Trail Highway. You know, we're right off of that, and thankfully we're offset quite a distance, so we would see anything that would be coming down the pike, and we have a gate, you know, so we are gated and that sort of thing. So, but you're right, and when it comes to school safety, that's top priority for all of us, and we're all focused on making sure that we're doing all that we can.
What's the age of your buildings?
You know, our first graduating class was 1922, so it's been a while. And then if you look at the campus, there's different phases of building that has happened. So, you know, that's one of the things that we actually tried to do. We tried to pass a bond last spring, and unfortunately, it didn't pass. But something that we want to do is expand a little bit and grow our cafeteria area so we can accommodate the number of students that we have.
Well, and obviously a lot of districts, not only here but other places, put bond levies out, but that happened to coincide with the inflation happening at the same time, and that probably made a lot of even normal supporters think twice.
It did. There was a lot of uncertainty there, and clearly, you know, there's other districts in the area that tried also to pass bond, but the knowing that rates were going to go up and the threat of the inflation and recession and all that, it did bring a lot of pause to a lot of folks.
Now, one of the other areas around the nation and in Oregon and locally is the whole staff shortage issue. What about you? Do you have all your positions filled?
You know, Kyle, we're very blessed in that we have a full staff. And as I said, we try to have people there so that if there are subs needed, that we have that. But, you know, we've attracted some really good people. And I think, you know, we are a 4-day school week. I think that's an attractive thing for a lot of people, that they can have that 3-day weekend and then have some time to do some things with their family and their own kids. But we're really in good shape right now. And you never know when the next pandemic's around the corner, clearly. But, you know, comparatively, we are looking good.
When you have positions come open, is it a challenge to attract people to Dace Creek?
The biggest challenge probably for us as far as hiring is just the housing, because there is no real housing available for people who want to come in and rent in the Dace Creek area. So, you know, they're living in the Tri-Cities, Myrtle Creek, as far as Roseburg, some in Grants Pass, actually, and then still travel to Dace Creek to work.
Because right now, most of that, if you live out there, you have like a farm or amount of acreage or something, right?
That's exactly right. A lot of ranch farming and a lot of real estate out there. Not much housing.
Yeah, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. And back with Steve Wood, superintendent of Days Creek Charter School, as we wrap up the Back to School series. This is our ninth interview with the superintendent in the area. On Monday, candidate for governor Christine Drazen will be with us on Inside Douglas County. Well, we were talking about staff shortages right before the break. How do you guys handle busing in Days Creek?
Yeah, well, we contract through First Student, and they, as other bus companies, are, you know, doing what they can to attract bus drivers. And, you know, let me just follow up on that question as far as staffing, too. You know, we have a good resource in Douglas County ESD in that, you know, there's a lot of services and things that we can't provide because we're a small school. So we contract through them, like our IT support and, you know, some of those things. So nursing, counseling, et cetera. So, but, yeah. Yeah, those auxiliary services are a real challenge.
And busing, obviously, is a big deal down there.
Big deal, yeah. We have kids that clearly get on in the morning at early, and they're on the bus for 35, 40 minutes before they get to school. So it's quite a drive for them.
When you look at your geographic boundary, obviously, at some point, you are up against one of the South County districts. But talk about the rest of how the district boundary is set up.
Well, as you know, Douglas County is one of the larger districts, and then Days Creek area, we have a very large district ourselves. So it goes up river, Drew, all the way to Drew, and then close to Canyonville. And because our charter school, we do draw kids from outside of those boxes as well. So we get kids from Tri-City and Myrtle Creek and Azalea and those places as well.
There was additional funding available from the state for enhanced summer programs this past summer. What did you guys do in that direction?
We did some of that. It came down to because we lacked transportation services and we didn't have the ability to bus our kids. Not many of them took advantage of it. But we did have a small smattering of kids that came in and a lot of credit recovery things that we were able to do, but not on a big scale.
Do you feel like the state funding is going to be around for that next year as well?
You know, that's a great question because, you know, the projection right now, the revenues are looking really good. Will they hit the state school fund because of that? You know, I don't know. Our hope is that some of the, like the high school success and the SIA fund and something like that that we're counting on will still remain.
And, of course, you could have some other shifts in Salem as well with the elections. You're going to have a new governor regardless of who wins. And other, you know, changes possibly in the legislature, and that could make a difference there too.
That's right. There's going to be at least a 30% turnover in the legislative area, and that's a big one. And as you say, you know, whoever is leading the state, they're going to have a different approach to education, and we hope that that we'll benefit from that, and likewise, the students will also grow and benefit from it.
You mentioned credit recovery and sort of some of the pandemic loss. How bad do you think that is?
Well, you know, if you look at see the state scores, pretty much everybody went down. Now, we were very fortunate, and I think this is attributed to that we were open, you know, last year. But our scores in language arts went up, actually, ticked up. So, you know, again, small sampling size, but we're fortunate in that area.
As you look down the road at things in the future for Days Creek, are there programs you want to add? You mentioned at some point a building as well.
Yeah, we really need our larger cafeteria. The one that we have does not accommodate all of our students. You know, a place to have an assembly where they can do other than a gym. One of the things that has been dormant down at Days Creek for goodness, probably 10 years or so, is the baseball program. So we're resurrecting that this year. and putting in some money. The person who's putting it together is also the one that does the Eugene M's field. So we're looking to that. So we have a good group of freshmen coming in. And so we're going to have a baseball team this year. So that's pretty exciting.
Now, how hard is that to put together at a school that small?
Well, there again, you know, 9 players on the baseball team. So you got to have at least that. And then you have some bench. So you got to have some backup pitchers. So, you know, what we want to be able to do is put about, I don't know, 18 kids in uniform. You know, that would give us enough to have a good team. But, you know, if we needed to partner with another local district, we might be able to co-opt that if necessary. But our plan is to have a district full of baseball players.
And what kind of reaction have you heard to that idea?
The kids are pretty excited. The baseball field's been there the whole time. It's been dormant. And we've been co-oping with some local districts over the years. And so to have our own where they don't have to travel and for practices and things, they're really excited about it.
Now, do you have to do a lot of work to get the field back into usable condition?
Yeah, we're sinking, you know, about $40,000 into getting that field ready. So, again, we've contracted out through a company who does that, and should be really, really nice.
Now, I'm curious about your board, how that works. Is it different for charter schools? And then also, what's the dynamics of a board in a smaller area?
Yeah. Well, we actually have two boards. We have a charter board, and we have a district board, because we are dual districts, you know, public school and a charter school status. So, lucky me, I get to go to 2 board meetings every month. And so I have a different board for charter that focuses really on curriculum, great people, and love the kids. And then the district board's more overseeing the finances and that sort of thing. So the duties have been separated a little bit, and they work really well together. And it's really a blessing to have such an active group of men and women serve in Days Creek.
Now, do any of the people on the board serve on both of them?
There is a representative of 2 district board members on the charter board, but they are not voting members on the charter board, but they're there to help and oversee what's happening with the charter board. So there's no direct, so they can voting member on both, no.
And is that the normal method for charter schools?
It is. You know, the state has a charter law that you have to follow, and there needs to be a representative. When they meet and how often, that's some discretionary there. But, you know, for Days Creek, we're one of the first charter schools in the state. So it's been going well.
What do you think the advantage of being a charter school is?
The 2 big advantages is that there is a charter school registry. So if we get a person who's a mechanic or has a experience in a certain area, they may not have to go through the necessary certification accreditation that a normal teacher would have to go to because of the charter school status. The other thing is that our boundaries, anyone can come to our school. So that opens up our borders. We do limit the number of outside of the district that come, but those are the 2 primary advantages.
And you said you've been there, this is year 5?
That's correct. I'm starting my 5th year.
And what do you think down the road, how many more years do you have plans to do this?
Well, you never know. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. As long as the board have me, I'm going to keep serving there. My motto is to stay as long as I'm needed and where I can continue doing good work. And as long as I can do that, that's where I'll be.
And this may be a question that you would have expected near the front of the interview. When did you know you wanted to be in education?
Well, it's funny because I initially wanted to be an attorney. And so I actually started in the law school, and I got into it thinking, man, this is no fun. You know, I wanted to be, you know, around people and the action. And so it so happened that a friend said, you need to try coaching. And I got my foot in the door coaching and just really loved being around the kids and impacting future generations of leaders. And man, from there on, I just knew that's where I wanted to be.
Steve Woods, Days Creek Charter School. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.